Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Despite talks of a potential trade, Zach Werenski said in a statement Wednesday he wants to stay a Blue Jacket. The Norris Trophy winner also said he wants to win and win in Columbus. GM Don Waddell will speak to the media here at noon. World Cup, the U.S. advanced to the round of 16 with a 2-0 win over Bosnia and Herzegovina on goals from Malik Tillman via free kick and from Fuller and Balogun, who did commit a red card that'll keep him from Monday's game versus Belgium at 8. Baseball, Guardians host the White Sox at 7:10. Chicago a game up on Cleveland for the AL Central lead. Reds greet the Orioles at 7:10, looking to snap a four-game skid. Golf, Jerry Kelly and Greg Chalmers are tied for the lead at 3-under in round one of the U.S. Senior Open from Scioto Country Club, while Lucas Glover leads at 7-under in round one of the John Deere Classic on the PGA Tour. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
So where's the office back at Division?
In the office, baby. Going up.
I'm not mad at it. I'm not.
This counts.
I wasn't sure. Like, I may have deserved a warning on that, but I think we are transferring our complete Friday show to today. So, as they say, act as if.
Yes, sir.
And we will today. Welcome back in, Rothman and Ice. We had an awesome time out at Scioto Country Club yesterday. Hope you guys got a chance to listen to the show. A little American Golf Royalty on the show with Justin Leonard. And then the people's champ and Michael Block, and we had a blast. We were like fire and ice, half in the air conditioning, half in the sauna. And so we kind of had the best of all worlds in a way. And if you guys are going out there, be safe, hydrate, and enjoy it because it is awesome. We have a major in our city this weekend and obviously a major with 4th of July. So good to see you, brother.
Yeah,
I wish you would have worn that big flannel out there yesterday.
No. I feel like I could get, flannel t-shirt and shorts in the studio, man, because we actually got AC pumping. There's a fan going right now in the studio. But no, I thanks to everybody out there yesterday because it was tremendous hospitality. Shout out to everybody at Scioto. Shout out to everybody here at The Fan that was out there helping us out. And it was a good time. I'd never been out there, never been to that track, never been to any event for the senior tour. So to be around that vibe and to talk to Justin Leonard and Michael Block, both those guys told some cool stories. So if you missed those, go check out, our podcast, wherever you get your podcast.
All right, so we are going to take you to Nationwide Arena, where Don Waddell, president of Hockey Ops and GM, will be meeting the media. Somehow, they have put the genie back in the bottle, and they'll have a Q&A. Got a ton to say about this, but we want to take you there now.
Air Force One, The Athletic.
Thank you, Todd. Morning, Don.
Good morning, guys. Yeah.
Ladies. What is your sense of relief that the situation with Zach Werenski has turned out as it is that he's going to be here, at least for now?
Yeah, no, it's the end result is this is what we wanted. And, we didn't want to have Zach go anywhere. When it came time to make a decision, he made it very clear to me, very directly and very passionate that he wanted to be a Blue Jacket. He's been here 10 years, and he wanted to remain here, and it was music to my ears.
Were there miscommunications, were there misunderstandings that allowed it to get to the point where he turned down a trade to Dallas? Are you sure how everything unfolded, or was it just a strange set of circumstances?
I don't know. There wasn't miscommunication between me and him and his agent. I think, in the media, nothing against media, but when you get involved sometimes, there's a lot of speculation and of what's going on. So I think, I've met with Zach multiple times. I obviously talked to his agent many, many times, and there was never it wasn't a situation that we were on different pages by any means as far as working against each other.
Hey, Don. Hearing him say he wants to be a Blue Jacket, I'm sure it's like you said, music to your ears. Is there any timeline is attached to this as far as, like, you know, he's maybe going to use this season to assess things down the line? Have you guys talked about anything about the future, like longer term, or just next season?
What we talked about is Zach wants to be here. He wants to win here. We want to win here. You know, our fans have been great. They deserve a team to win here, and we're going to worry about this year and put the best team on the ice we can and get back in the playoffs.
Back center.
Joe Reedy, Associated Press. Don, with Boone's departure now and with everything with Zach, do you anticipate him being the captain for the upcoming season?
Yeah, it's a great question. Rick and I haven't spoken about it yet. You know, he's one of our leaders, obviously, since he's been here. Did a great job, I think, over the last couple of years under some tough situations along with that group. So we'll discuss it as the summer goes on, and once we get in training camp, we'll figure it out. But I expect him to be one of our leaders for sure.
Don, what can you say about the situation with Marchenko, who also his agent has indicated whatever?
Well, first, yeah, you know, different circumstances, so don't lump them two together. And I've had discussions with his agent, which we won't discuss right now, but Marchenko's going to be a Blue Jacket when the season starts.
And you want to get him signed this summer. I know he's under contract, but you can't as of now. Is that a goal? Is that likely this summer, do you think?
It's one of the goals on my plate, with, but we've got three more pressing ones right now in front of us. So there's lots of time to work on that before the season starts, for sure.
Yeah, Mark Shag, hockey writer. So the RFA situation, do you have any update on that? And is there any concern about a potential offer sheet on any of them?
No real update. Obviously, when we announced Sillinger yesterday, it was the other Sillinger, so I still have all three of them to get done, Fantilli, Sillinger, and Jet. You know, offer sheets, we saw one yesterday. You never know what's going to come. I've been involved in them. I've been involved receiving them and giving them. So if an offer sheet comes along at some point, you know, there's no doubt. We're in a situation, we got lots of cap space, that if it did happen, that you know, we're able to match anything. So I don't expect it, but you never know in this business.
Don, in the last couple months, you know, what has the message from, you know, the ownership been like to you as far as, you know, where the team is? And did that change at all over, you know, the 10 or 11 days of the Zach Werenski rumors?
It's a good question. I've been out to the McConnell's house along with Mike Priest, met with them out there, but met multiple times and kept them informed of what's going on. This is great ownership here. I've been through lots of ownerships. This is, they're very, very supportive. They don't try to manage my job. They, I ask them some questions, listen to what they have to say, but their support through this whole process has been terrific. And I can't say enough about them and Mike Priest also, because Mike's a big part of it, who I report to. They want to win. And they're just like Zach and me and all of our fans just want to win.
Now, they kind of have this in the rearview mirror, at least for now. How much the attention kind of goes back to maybe, you know, going back to whatever plans you were trying to have, you know, prior to, you know, these last 2 weeks when, you know, the focus is just making sure this team is where it needs to be to get back in the playoffs?
Yeah, nothing changed, because I've been able to multitask. If you can't multitask this job, you'd be in trouble, because you never know what's going to get thrown at you each day and every day, not just in this situation, but, you know, in the last few days with free agency. And last week we made a trade that we thought really helped us. So we've been able to continue to conduct business on a normal basis.
Hi, Don. John Rutter, NBC4. How do you feel like you've addressed your team's needs so far in free agency? Is there more that you would obviously like to do? And then is it fair to also ask, does Zach kind of factor into that in any input that he might have?
Yeah, well, we really wanted to add a bigger forward that can skate, and Val from Colorado last Wednesday or Thursday, whenever he made the deal. He was a player that we actually had targeted. You know, it goes back a year ago, if you remember, when we got Charlie Coyle and Miles Wood. You know, we do a good job of managing our own cap. We try to manage everybody else's cap too, so we know who might be in a tough spot. And so once we had looked at Colorado a few weeks ago, I had reached out to them and said, you know, if you're going to do anything, we'd be very interested. So that started the ball and went quiet for probably 10 days before it heated up. So adding Val, you know, 6'4", fast, great penalty killer, playing your power play, and the size was important to us. You know, we sometimes feel like we're a little small up front, and so adding the size, and then, you know, the other part is the contract. You know, it's 4 years at a real manageable number. We all see what happened yesterday with some of the term, and not only the term, but where the money went. So we felt real good about adding that before. You know, we added Ryan Lundberg yesterday, which energy player, skates like the wind, likes to play physical, likes to mix it up a little bit. So, you know, it's nice to have some support there for Olivier.
Thanks for the hedge.
The last 2-3 days, maybe 4 days, I don't know. Sure you guys saw the same things we did as far as reports that were coming out there. It felt like it was every 5 minutes. There were some that saying there was maybe some hard feelings, that kind of thing. What was, I mean, did you reach out to Zach and his agent? Did they reach out to you guys? How did that whole thing happen where you guys just kind of came together? And was it a deal where it was like, hey, can we just clear the air here a little bit?
Well, first, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't really read the news because I kind of live it, so I kind of know what's going on. But funny story, because years ago when I was starting Atlanta, and I was reading all these clips, I'm thinking, wow, they got a lot going on there. And then I'd read about our team, and I'd say, that's not true. So why do I believe the other stuff? So there's never been a rift in this relationship. You know, again, the communication has been constant. And I think, you know, I've been up to Detroit a couple times. I went up the day before Zach won the Norris Trophy and had breakfast with them. And I think any relationship, if you don't have communication, that's where it can go sideways for you. But there's never been a rift in this negotiations or talks about potential going someplace else.
Mike,
Don, it's kind of been asked and answered, but just to clarify, you know, in 364 days, you can begin to negotiate an extension with Zach Werenski. Do you expect to be negotiating extension in 1 year's time with Zach?
You tell me how the season's going to go, and we'll figure it out. But, you know, of course, I'm going to say if the opportunity presents, we're going to do everything to keep him, and that's he wants to stay. So whether it happens on July 1st or September 1st, you know, dates aren't that important. We're showing right now with some of the guys we have. So we'll just see how this year goes. And again, Zach's made it real clear, and he made it clear to me. It was very passionate yesterday when we met, and that he wants to be a Blue Jacket. And so we're going to go from there.
Mark. Don, you added Phoenix Copley to your goaltending rooms. That's three NHL goalies, at least for now. Do you have a plan of how that might work out, and do you have a need for maybe another defenseman this offseason?
Three goalies. You know, last year's we never used a third goalie, and the year before, you know, Jet was like a yo-yo up and down, and so we just felt that we had an opportunity to get an experienced guy. Salary was good, so we just felt, let's make sure we go in the season having three guys and let them compete for jobs. Defenseman, we're going to announce here soon. We're re-signing Erica Brunson.
Next, we'll go to Bill Levinowitz, back left.
Hi,
Bill.
Hi. The only thing that we've gotten from Zach is the statement yesterday. Can you characterize his mood, demeanor yesterday? I mean, I'm sure it's been a whirlwind for him, a tough day for him. Kind of describe his mood, and then also if you could just address Boone Jenner leaving and what he's meant to this team.
Well, his mood yesterday was outstanding. I'm telling you, I sat in, and actually I brought in Rick Nash with me, and we I can't say enough good things about how the conversation went. And it started off, Zach led the conversation and made it real clear that he's committed here. He wants to win here. He wants to play here. From that end, it was outstanding, I got to be honest with you. What was the second part? I'm happy for Boone. You know, I mean, he got a great contract with some term. And, you know, we had talked to him. And obviously, we were in that position with the term. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I've talked this before about the salary cap. You know, depending on what happens with our three unrestricted guys, or three restricted guys, you know, we're pushing over $100 million right now. And so going forward, and the cap continues to go up, but then, you know, when you got Marchenko and Johnson and Voronkov and Matejchuk next year, the money goes fast. It's I don't know where it all goes, but I guess I do, but it goes fast. So we wanted to be careful with the term on Boone, but I'm really happy for him.
Don, I know you just referenced, obviously, you got a lot of business going on, you know, with restricted free agents over the next 2 years, but, you know, even, you know, obviously, what you talked about, Zach, you know, wanting to be here, is there any concern at all, you know, with the idea of, you know, the ticking clock, knowing that, like, well, I can say these things, you want to make sure that it's in writing next year. Do you feel like there's any ticking clock element to make sure that, you know, this organization is in the right place where he wants to be committed?
I don't think there's a clock. I think, you know, as I said, we all want to win, and winning solves a lot of things. So I don't look at it as a ticking clock as much as I do that, you know, our goal here is to get in the playoffs. That's the ultimate goal, is always to win the Stanley Cup, but the first step is you got to get in to win the Stanley Cup. So that's our focus right now. You know, the contracts and all that, they all come in time when they're due up. So we're just going to be ready to roll come September.
Mike, you're thinking with the Goodbranson contract or re-signing?
I'm sorry?
You're thinking with Goodbranson, and what did he say?
Eric was multiple conversations with his representation. I've seen Eric's been working out here. I see him all the time, and, you know, we knew he wanted to come back here. You know, we just, with the conversations we had over the last few days, it was just a matter of the timing. We took a look around and said, you know, the one thing Eric brings, obviously, you know, he finished his season very strong, and he was healthy, and he's been in the gym every day. You know, he had two really freak injuries. The physicality that he has, we don't have that on the blue line. We got a lot of puck movers and Severson and Zach and Matejchuk and that. So to have Proby, to have somebody back there with that physicality, we felt was very important.
Go back left, Sophie.
You had development camp this week, so you got to see a lot of your new picks from last week, get to kind of assimilate with the guys that have been in the program for a bit. So what was it like to see them on the ice, see them with the program, and just get to know the development coaches?
I wish I had seen more of them because I was kind of busy the last couple of days. But I watched Monday, and I did watch the scrimmage today. Obviously, some of the guys were just drafted. Hemming stands out right away because of his skating ability and his size and that. And, you know, you go back and look at a couple of guys, like Lidstrom, we were just talking about it. It's the best he's skated since we've had him because, you know, he's through all his injuries. He's been with the skating coach this year, and it really shows up out there. Jackson Smith is just going to be a special player. So, and then the other guys that we drafted this year, you know, it's all projection, as you know. You know, I've never heard any GM say they had a bad draft day because we all think, you know, we're going to get players. You know, they all got, some of them are going college, some are going back to their junior team and that, and obviously our development team does a great job with them, and we'll keep working with them. But it's always fun to watch. Anytime you go in the rink and watch hockey, it's always fun.
Good, Jeff.
Two of the players you've acquired this offseason, and Val and Lomberg, have won Stanley Cup championships, and I don't know if that was a specific thing you were looking for, but obviously would have to think it adds to the room just having that experience. Is that something that can prove invaluable, especially with some of the young players in key spots?
Yeah, it's always a bonus. You know, I've said once you win the cup, and I was fortunate in management, once you won it, there's nothing like it. So to surround yourself and these players that we targeted and went after just happened to win cups. So it's an added bonus to what they bring in the locker room for sure.
Go back to Joe in the back room.
Don, what's the conversations with Rick been like with Bones the past couple weeks? Just because I know he had to comment earlier in the week just about everything that, you know, seeing the NBA and everything will adjust as the preseason goes along if this festered.
Yeah. I talk to Rick every day. So we have communication about a lot of things every day. And I know I called him immediately after my call meeting with Zach and told him that he was super excited about him coming back. Obviously, we know why. You know, he's a Norris Trophy winner. But, you know, Rick has been around in the league a long time. It would be foolish for me not to use him as a resource. So I call him all the time about players. But he's always said, you know, my job is to take the players you give me and make the best they can. And so the communication has been very, very good. I talked to him again this morning. He's ready to roll. Like if training camp was starting tomorrow, that would be perfect for him.
I think you kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier with some of the money we've seen in the UFA market out there already, and just kind of going back to the RFAs you have and the potential of an offer sheet. When you go into the UFA market and you have guys who are unsigned as RFAs, do you have to kind of consider that as well? Like, are you looking at what you have and you want to make sure you keep a certain amount, you know, assuming that if one comes out of the blue, you can match it?
Yeah, for sure. You don't want to put yourself in a hole. It's July 2nd. So, you know, that's the tempting thing for teams. And, you know, if they look and say they don't have enough cap space, obviously in the summertime you can go up over 10% until the season starts, but if you put yourself up against the cap, that can really put you in a position where somebody might look to offer sheet you. So we have plenty of room. We've kept that for a purpose, and we'll continue to get these guys signed. They'll be signed before we start playing, I guarantee you that.
I think we've got one from Nick Katsunika. Nick, can you hear me? Go ahead.
Hey, Don, I just wanted to clarify, what was communicated to you originally? Like, was this Zach saying, I'm not interested in staying long term, or was it, I just can't commit because there's so much time between now and then, right? At least a year before he could sign an extension.
Yeah, well, first of all, I asked for the meeting. It wasn't really a meeting. We were getting together and talking about you know, how things went this year and all that, and that's how the conversation went. So it was really a mutual thing as we were just together. Like I said, I've met with him multiple times in the summertime, and you know, it was pretty basic how it came out, that, you know, we were just talking about this year, how it went, and the future, and it went from there.
Did you ask for the meeting because of Larkin or Tkachuk situations, out of curiosity?
No, I didn't. It had no effect on me. No.
Okay. The other question I had was, is this a case where it got real, right? Like, Zach, you present Zach with a trade, and once it becomes real, you realize what you want, right? Or things crystallize?
As far as from my end or from Zach's end?
More from his end. I mean, I'd ask
him. Yeah, no, well, you know, it was within, I'm going to say within an hour, that his answer came back that he did not want to be, it wasn't Dallas, he didn't want to be traded. So obviously him and his family have been talking about and thinking about it, and now you could put where you have to make a decision. And if they hadn't thought about it, it might have been over the night, through the night, and the next day. But I got the answer back, it had to be right around an hour, that no, he wants to be a Blue Jacket. So
yeah, just last thing. When you say it wasn't Dallas, you mean it wasn't about the Stars. It was just he wanted to be in Columbus.
Correct, 100%.
That's what you mean. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, we'll go back to John.
Real quickly, I don't know if it's official or not yet. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but the possibility of adding a coach like Don Granato, what does he add to the organization? What qualities do you like in a guy like him?
Well, I don't want to speculate who we're going to hire, but to answer your question, I know Donnie because he coached for me for 2 years in Chicago. He coached my farm team in Chicago when I was in Atlanta. So just got through coaching the U.S. national team over in Zurich. So he's a very good person and a very good coach. So if we add him, we're going to be very lucky to add him to our staff.
Last one, Tim.
Don, obviously, you know, Nick earlier referenced, you know, his situation with Brady Tkachuk and Dylan Larkin, you know, what's going on with Zach. I mean, how you've obviously been doing this for a while, but how different has it been, you know, what it feels like a different era as far as, you know, player empowerment is concerned, you know, players having more input like that. How much does that change, you know, what you try to do as far as, you know, conversations, you know, you have with them as far as, you know, if they have need to have any more input or in certain things like that, or is it just kind of just making sure that you're just focused on relationship building more than anything?
Your last point is where I was going to start with, you know, and I've always felt that you build relationship with your players, you get to know your players, you get to know their families, and that's how you keep end up keeping players. You make them feel wanted and needed, and you know what's happening. You know what? This summer, you saw two players, particular one got traded, one didn't. I won't mention their names, but this has happened a lot through the years where it doesn't become as public as it's gone. You know, I can think of 5 or 6 cases that we talked about the other day. You guys can figure it out who they were. But so when it becomes public is, I've been doing it for, I think this is my 22nd year or 21st year as a GM. I've had numerous trade requests like these guys over these other teams are trying to do, but they didn't become public, and you deal with them, and sometimes you make the trade, sometimes you don't. But it's when it becomes public, that's I think it just puts more focus on it.
Okay, great.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
And there you go. The genie is back in the bottle somehow. And it took 22 minutes to get to any type of a hard-hitting question about the fiasco that took place over the last week. Can't wait to react to more of it with you, Maddie, when we come back after this break. Rothman and
Org.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Warm and muggy to start, and sunny and hot this afternoon with highs in the upper 90s and feels like well into the triple digits. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows in the 70s, and then for Friday, we close out the work week with sunny skies and very, very hot temperatures in the 90s with feels like climbing into the triple digits, so keep those ways to stay cool. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, let's take a deep breath and unpack this mess that somehow got cleaned up. At least for the time being, maybe for a season. Matty, I've said it for a week. This went off the rails, and I know that in 2026, things are going to happen. People are going to talk. Agents are going to talk because they want to try to slant it towards their client. I'm not even talking about the Jackets. I'm talking about maybe a team that was being talked to by Don or a trade that was going to happen. I cannot believe that we didn't get a question about the trade until 22 minutes in. And even then, because this is my point in the whole thing. All due respect, you've got to ask this question. So he didn't ask for a trade, and you shopped your best player. Why? How does that question not get asked? Now, here's the answer, and I'll give you the answer, and I'll help him with his answer. His answer is because my best player hesitated when I pushed him to tell me whether he was going to be resigning with us in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And since he couldn't say unequivocally yes, I took it as a no. Now, I'm not going to stop Don Waddell from being a GM. Like I said, all due respect, that's his job. But he put his best player in an awful position, awful, and forced him to answer 2 years out. So what happens? Don goes exploring. That's his job. He's entitled to do that. But there, that comes with risk. That's a dangerous game to play. And the dangerous game led to it getting out. And now the player has to eat it publicly when he's done nothing in my mind other than to tell them he doesn't know right now. Zach Werenski is entitled and has earned the right to not know how today how he'll feel in a year. And I'm not just talking personally. I'm talking professionally. He plays for an organization that hasn't made the playoffs in a half a dozen years. He's put in 10. So you tell me, if he doesn't improve the team and they come back and they are close but no cigar again, what happens then, 11 years in? Like, how would he know? So why did you go out and make a deal if Zach didn't request it? Now, because of Zach, how this was handled could have forced him out. He likes it here for now. And I believe a question was presented to him by Don Waddell, doing his job, that he didn't have an answer for. And I think anyone would do that. And I think he's entitled to know what things look like in a year. Did we miss the playoffs again? Who's my coach? All that. What's the team like? Like, you're shopping your best player who didn't ask for a trade? I'll tell you why he's motivated. And he was motivated for two things. One, by Zach's hesitation, 2 years out, I remind you. And the other was knowing that he's at the peak of his value. So what happens? You panic a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, if I don't sell him now, I risk it, which is absolutely true. But with 2 years left, I didn't like the fact that they did that. I've said for a week, and you've heard me, this is a conversation that should have happened a year from now. I think Zach was honest that he didn't know, and he got burned for it. Fans threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
Some even local media took cheap shots at him for the late season collapse was on him and Marchenko. What, nobody else? The other teams had nothing to do with it? Winning is easy at the end of the year? Zach played in the Olympics, didn't get a break. No, nothing considered, zero. And all he did in my mind was give his honest feeling at this point in time, and all got him was burned. And he could have lied and said, everything's fine. Get the pen ready, Don. Refill the ink. I'm good. 365, we're going. But he didn't. And the issue was forced. And they shopped their best player with 2 years left, and it got out publicly. And I don't know how in the world this came back to here, other than the fact that Zach didn't want to leave. Because if he still did, if he was still so desperate to leave, then Don holds his ground on Toronto and Tampa, and he waits for the best deal, and he moves him. And somehow we're back here, and he said we'll start the season,
yeah,
and away we go. But that is unbelievable, the week that happened.
Unreal. When the statement came out yesterday that the presser that we all just listened to was going to happen and the verbiage that was in the statement, it shocked me. It did. I was in the headspace leaving the show yesterday that the toothpaste was too far out of the tube and you couldn't get it back in. But I want to make sure I heard this correctly. Don alluded to the fact that he called for the meeting, correct? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, he said that around the Norris Trophy Award, they had breakfast together, and he even brought Rick Nash into it.
Right.
And that they kind of wanted to feel Zach out, mm-hmm, 2 years out.
Which I think is smart to do, because I had to remind myself that GMs and owners, they're planning things out years down the road with their financials, what the landscape around the league is going to look like as far as free agents, what these draft prospects are looking like. So in Don's mind, and I agree with what you said, you're a GM, you're looking at your team and how it's constructed and where the team is headed. And you looked at Z's contract and you thought to yourself as a GM, okay, I'm in a situation to where this guy is a heck of a player. I don't have a surefire answer that he wants to be here long term, so let me check his temperature on this. He did that, and I think he came out of that meeting a little shook because of the lack of commitment from Z, and I'm agreeing with you that Z doesn't need to commit to anything.
He can't right now. Resign now anyway.
So there you go, right? And so for Don, I can't then blame him for not wanting to get caught with nothing at the end of the road when it comes to all of this.
But he wouldn't be, because next year you still have him.
That's I'm talking 2 years away.
Oh, yeah,
right?
You can't walk him to free agency.
Correct.
Yeah.
That can't happen as a GM when you've got a player of his caliber. He can't leave for nothing. That drives me nuts when teams do that. So I'm not going to fault Don for maybe recalibrating a little bit coming out of the meeting and say, well, wait a minute. I got to do what's best for the team. And what may be best for the team right now is moving on from Z because I don't know. And so I understand everybody's perspective in all of this. It's great that this is going to happen at least for a year, but I still leave this press conference with a little bit of a ... for now at the end of it. Not everything is clear in my mind as far as the future of this. So this is still going to hover over the situation just a little bit, but at least where we're going to be for 26 and 27 or going into the 27 season is that Z's going to be a Jacket for a year. But AR, I don't think this is completely done. And that's still an unfortunate headspace, I believe, for everyone to be in.
It shouldn't be done. It can't be done. He can't sign another extension
until
next year.
But he can't do it, and athletes are never going to do this. But there could be maybe a little bit of a verbal feel from Z of his commitment.
But how could you expect him to feel that way with where this team is?
And that's what I've been saying all week. I can't knock Z for not being certain about wanting to be here. So while he can't put his name on the line right now, I do think there can be conversations had between agent, GM, and player to get a feel of this. And I think the original feel from Don was, this isn't headed the way I want it to go. And then I don't even want to say it was a knee-jerk reaction, because I think there's a ton of GMs would have done the same thing. But luckily for Don, this is you don't think so?
2 years out, I don't.
You don't think when a star player has a meeting with a GM and that star player gives you an easy feeling about their future that they wouldn't think about making moves after that?
You could think about it, but it's a dangerous game to go explore it and do it.
I agree.
Bring him a trade that he vetoes.
I agree with that.
Because he doesn't want to leave.
I don't think there's any GM in any sport that leaves a meeting with their star player with uncertainty that's like, oh, okay, we'll just kick that can down the road.
But
I don't believe that's how.
Our disagreement on is that you could have the same conversation a year from now, and then I'd be all on that side of it. Saying, yeah, if he gives me hesitation a year from now with a year left,
I get
then
that.
I have to.
But then we got to
bring 2 years out.
But then I think you have to bring back into the conversation what we touched on and where Zeke is right now and his status in
that
the league.
Was it.
And this is maybe the best it's going to get.
If none of this gets out, it's not a story. But that's a dangerous game to play when you explore a big trade and take it to your guy, and then you have other players on the other side and agents and other teams that are like,
People are talking. Yep.
But the fact that Don wasn't asked today, if he didn't want a trade, talk to us about your motivation of shopping him. Because exactly what we're talking about. You were motivated by A, his hesitation, and B, his value.
Yeah.
And that's an answer.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me from a GM's perspective.
All right, let's take a break. We got overs and unders as well going into the holiday weekend. Rothman and I.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money. Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice presents Overs and Unders.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
All right, TLC, what you got?
All right, so while you guys were doing that, I was back here researching some 4th of July stuff to quiz you guys on, but we have some results in from the poll yesterday.
Ooh, I like this.
In the opening segment of the poll, we stumbled into a debate. Opening segment of yesterday's show, we stumbled into a debate that kind of kickstarted this poll that we threw out there. Simple question. Do you know what an EFIS is in baseball? The options were yes or no.
So initially, AR, when we took pitch out of it, I thought that this was going to lean no. I still think it's going to lean no.
What does it say? How did you read again?
Do you know what an EFIS is in baseball?
The in baseball part kind of can lead you your mind a
no
little
doubt.
Bit.
I don't even know how to spell it, let alone what it was.
Yeah, how do you EFIS?
I thought it was EPHUS is my guess.
How was that spelled? TLC.
Double E P H U S.
Double E.
All right. I'm going to go no, and I'm going to say it's 60-40 no.
Yeah. I'm just telling you what I think of what I would think, and I don't hear that very often.
Would the in baseball part have led you to knowing what that was?
Have helped me. Yeah. I agree. If he writes, do you know what an EFIS is? How about in sports?
Yeah.
We could have even left that in there, and I wouldn't know. I'm with you on no. We're going to both go no.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's only one theme song to play then.
Oh, so he wins.
Because it's yes. I can't play any of your theme music because it's yes.
You can't.
What's the tail of the tape on that?
63 say yes, 37 say no.
That makes me feel good then. That makes me feel good. I think we need more EFIS pitches in baseball. Really throw off the timing. You know what I mean, AR?
I mean, I've heard like junk pitch and whatever. Like, that has never in all the years that I've been watching sports, covering sports, listening, whatever, reading, it never comes up.
Really?
It hasn't for me.
I've lived in the baseball world pretty much my whole life, so I'm not going to act like that's like, oh, how do you not know that? Because I'm in that world. But that is a bit surprising. Because you're a ball knower.
Yeah.
You're a ball knower. Okay.
Exactly. I like those results. In fact, I thought it was going to be more than 63%. I was surprised that we had the debate yesterday, to be honest with you.
Here's another interesting thing that I did not know. 2 years ago, there was a film made. I don't know where it aired or anything.
I didn't see that yesterday.
That's called EFIS. A group of middle-aged men play their last recreational baseball game before their field gets torn down to build a school.
Who made this? Where is it? Netflix? Where can I watch this thing?
YouTube. I don't know.
Okay.
You can see the trailer on YouTube, but I have no idea.
And now, fellas, my mind is caught up in how many words start with double E.
I can't name you a second one, to be honest with you.
There can't be that many. Double E starting off a word. That's got to be a very, very rare thing.
Not in our language, I wouldn't think. I don't know.
Mm.
All right. Yeah. How many states have entirely outlawed the sale of fireworks and other potential explosives?
Ooh.
Over under 7.5. Outlawed it.
Actually, when I say potential explosives,
according to the United Nations Explosive Shipping Classification System. So it'd be like fireworks and sparklers and bottle rockets and all of those.
What was
the
that?
M80s,
what,
the Roman
was that
candles.
Establishment again? What was that?
The United Nations Explosive Shipping Classification System.
Come on, man.
That's what the United States goes off of.
Over or under 7.5, AR.
Of states that have outlawed it.
Yeah.
Where you can't buy or sell fireworks.
Entirely outlawed. Not just partially outlawed. Outlawed
so
everything.
You're saying even like a little sparkler is what you said.
So I can't cross the state line, come back with it, and fire them off? I can't even do that?
No.
Probably not.
They're just done completely.
A, you're transporting it across state lines.
What is this, NASCAR?
And B, Narcos? Then you're firing it off.
We're smuggling fireworks?
Bootlegging alcohol?
I wonder if there's a canine that can smell fireworks. You would think for sure.
Yeah, those dogs are incredible.
Powder, right.
Yeah,
I don't know if they train them to do that.
Uh-huh.
But they're too busy training them on the drugs. All right, let's... over under 7.5 on states that have outlawed fireworks completely, buy, sell, fire off. I'm going to say...
Again, including the minor fireworks. We're talking about sparklers.
Yeah, I'm going to go under then.
Okay.
Because I'm just afraid of the little sparkler thing. That you like, I would think there'd be levels.
Like
of
the little
this.
Sparklers you get in the club when you're in a VIP section and bringing a couple bottles, like those.
They have sparklers in the club.
Oh,
do
yeah,
they?
For sure. Absolutely. Like, yeah, they bring hazard? Bottles and stuff. They got sparklers and okay. stuff they'll bring to your section.
That's true.
Oh,
some sort of. I guess those wouldn't be allowed in
some sort of a.
In certain states.
Seafood tower.
Right. Okay. I'll go over. Why the heck not?
It's only one state. Massachusetts is the only state that outlaws everything.
That's interesting. There
are many states that forbid you from shooting off fireworks into the sky, but Massachusetts says you can't even hand the kid a sparkler.
Wow. Those things that you could just throw down to the ground and pop. Like, none of that stuff.
None of the fun.
So the cradle of liberty is... Can't have it.
No. All right. All the sparklers that all the kids in Ohio are going to be enjoying this weekend, if you're in Massachusetts... You're going to jail.
AR probably loves us for the dogs, right? Probably
Thank you that. For saying it. Yeah, I don't know why people aren't more sensitive to that. I guess because they're selfish. I don't know.
Chasing them, the dogs?
No, it's the sound and the fireworks. It scares animals.
Oh my gosh,
and they can run away and they just, it stresses them out. Anxiety. It's awful.
I got a friend of mine where he takes his dog like into the basement to
put
try
some
to
music
yeah,
on, put
get
the
away
TV
from
on.
The noise as much as you can. Yeah,
good for him. All right, we're coming back top of the hour, and we'll switch a little bit to the foosball. And Todd McShay has his 2027 quarterback mock. Where's Julian? Find out next. Rothman and
Live Better. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Columbus, you can breathe now. Zach Werenski will stay a Blue Jacket. GM Don Waddell on his relief, knowing the Norris Trophy winner will stay in the Union Blue.
This is what we wanted. We didn't want to have Zach go anywhere. When it came time to make a decision, he made it very clear, very directly, and very passionate that he wanted to be a Blue Jacket. He's been here 10 years, and he wanted to remain here, and it was music to my ears.
Also notable from Waddell's press conference, he said Kirill Marchenko will also stay with the CBJ for the season, and the team is re-signing Eric Gabranson. More NHL, Alex Ovechkin signed a one-year deal with the Capitals, returning for a 22nd year. Baseball, Reds look to snap a four-game skid at the Brewers at 2:10, while the Guardians host the White Sox at 7:10. Chicago a game up on Cleveland for first in the AL Central. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, this is Michael Behrens, Big Red, otherwise known as the Czar of the Parking Lot, and you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
That's right.
So good, man. Shout out to the Czar.
It's a parking lot. People are supposed to be able to get their cars, ideally.
Oh,
Behrens asks that you bear with us. All right. So we'll bring the roller coaster to a stop on the Z thing for a moment. But you can always go back and listen.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes. The press conference. I know Tyler Danberg, you heard a clip from Big Don right there in his update, but you can listen to the entire press conference in our podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, just type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do from noon to three. We'll be waiting there for you. Take us with you wherever you go. Cause it was a good presser, solid presser. Later in the presser is where I think we got to where we wanted to go. And so, yeah, overall, he'll talk about some of the new guys, Boone leaving, the Marchy situation, but obviously Zach's the central focus and all of that. And yeah, you can catch up on everything wherever you get your podcast.
Please do.
Yep.
That's I'm not telling you're going to get a lot out of that presser, but there was a lot of talk after it between the two of us.
It's good stuff.
I mean, there was some fumbling. All right, so McShay put out, we have pressure cooker this hour.
Yeah.
We're going to put on Jensen Lewis this hour.
Let's go.
We usually have him on Friday, but since you and I are taking the holiday weekend off, we'll have J-Lew today, VSiN by the books, MLB Network, talk about the Guards and your Reds. Boy, there was so much promise. Were you guys like 21-10 or something like that?
It was looking good, brother. It was looking good. And then, life comes at you fast when you're a Cincinnati Reds fan and you're kind of used to being in this headspace. Yeah. I believe the stat is the Cincinnati Reds have not won a playoff series since 1995 or 96. I believe that is the case off the top of the dome. So it's unfortunate, right? You're kind of used to this. It's like a lot of the Browns fans that I talk to. You get to this point to where you're not even upset anymore. Just like, oh, just another year. It's what we do as a Reds fan. Look at the standings, and you're in the basement of the division on July 2nd. Yay. This is what we got going on.
So when we put out the EFIS poll, I do have a text on a word that I don't know how this escaped us.
I know, because I got one too, and I bet it's the exact same word.
Eel.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Because people probably typed into Google EE, like words that start with EE, and that's the one that pops up.
Then they attached one more letter to the end.
Because nothing really, I guess eerily. That's a double E.
Is it?
Eerily.
Is it? Well, that just means eerie.
Well, isn't eerily a word?
Yeah, but that's just a playoff of eerie. That's just the adverb form. No, you're right.
Okay.
E-E-R-Y, eerie. In eerie silence.
I know some words and stuff.
Beavis and Butthead.
Okay.
When they hang it up?
They haven't hung it up.
They're still going. New episodes?
It's in my algorithm.
So new episodes of Beavis and Butthead are still available, is what you're saying.
There are new clips that I've never seen, and then they made old Beavis and Butthead. Wow. Like like middle-aged dudes.
Good for them.
It's unbelievable.
Like the Simpsons, Mike Judge still kicking. Those shows are still kicking.
That's amazing.
Who's the creator of this?
Mike Judge. Oh, I should know too.
Beavis and Butthead looks like it's 90s just based off the cartoon design.
I don't think you missed much.
Mike Judge, who's done a lot outside of creating Beavis and Butthead. So in 1992, he created this. And it was kind of paired up with MTV, right? They'd be interwoven into videos and things like that, or music videos. And it was kind of controversial at the time, but it ran from 93 to 97.
Okay.
And they aired a new season in 2011 and then another one in 2021. He also
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He also created King of the Hill.
Really?
And did some other television shows, made some different appearances on things.
That makes sense.
What do you think his net worth is? I don't know how anybody. By the way, I don't know how anybody ever knows. Like,
Chad knows everything.
Yeah, but how would they know what his bank accounts are, where his investments are? Like, how does anybody know that?
I'm going to guess it's around $500
million. Wow, that's quite a sound effect.
Yeah, I don't know how I did that.
That's live on the air.
He's learning from the James Laurinaitis School of Radio.
That's why we have a cough button, by the way, so when you go into those deep guttural sounds, one has to hear them.
The radio station I was at.
I mean,
little James and what he did there for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
we always think, by the way, they were always very like simple, like normal questions.
James, you got any fun plans for the weekend?
Yeah, I mean,
James,
should they re-sign Eric Goodbranson?
Yeah, I mean,
James, you a pancake or waffle guy?
Yeah, I mean, hey, James, when's your birthday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but that was a little much. He could answer.
Shout out to James. He's awesome.
I was going to say 370.
Oh.
Yeah, it's 80 mil is what it says.
Oh, that's
close
it?
Closer to me. Okay. Even though I weigh
80 mil is pretty good. Maybe spent a lot.
Maybe he did. I did a quick Google search. Matt Groening, or Groening.
Yeah, that's it.
Is the creator of The Simpsons. His net worth, or unless you guys want to guess it, TLC, what do you guys think his net worth is? The creator of The Simpsons.
I mean, that may be north of 250.
Okay. Give me your number, though.
250.
Jeez. Great, more sound effects. 251.
Play your theme music.
I would have had no clue where to even begin if he didn't guess first.
Just to give our guy a little love.
Yeah, I mean,
we just need to keep doing it.
Matt Stone and Trey Parker, if those are the names.
I do that out of love. I save these things out of love.
James knows we love him. We absolutely love him. Matt Groening's net worth reported $600 million. Yeah. So The Simpsons, Beavis and Butthead, there's levels to this. There's levels to this.
But like I said, I don't know how anybody knows that. I guess you could know it by based on like what things have grossed and how much money things have made and then just attach it. But how would you know anybody's individual net worth? You don't know their investments. You don't know their bank accounts. You don't know what they truly own.
You don't know whether they own their home or whether it's still like I don't.
These net worth numbers are fluid. They're fluid.
It's fluid, you know? Based on celebrities and what they've made doing their craft, meaning athletes.
That's a lot easier to track.
Salaries are public, and movies. How much that person made in that movie? Right. Tom Cruise made, I don't know, $25 million doing that or $80 million doing that.
Like a musician, I'm not really sure how they calculate all of their finances, like album sales and song plays and tickets and merchandise and like all of that. But yeah, it's some of this stuff cannot be dead on accurate, but I think it's in the ballpark, and that makes sense to me that the inventor of the creator of The Simpsons would be worth about $600 million.
Like I think you know that Taylor Swift's a tour that grosses over $2 billion in ticket sales, so you know that.
Listen, the more I learn about Taylor Swift, the more I like her. I don't really have much of her music in the rotation, but coming out of that tour.
Her discography.
Right. It sounded like she was cutting nice checks to all the dancers.
Yeah.
I saw a report today that her and Travis Kelce donated like $20+ million to some charity or something like that. So they're shutting down
this charity
New York.
Thing we got going on.
Yeah. They're shutting down New York right now because of this wedding. But this seems like Taylor Swift's a good chick, man. It seems like she's got a good head on her shoulder, man.
That's going on. She's a good chick. All right, let me ask you this.
Yeah, go
Why is there a mystery around whether she's getting married at MSG? You know how many people would take to put on that wedding? The arena, the security, everybody else.
They're like tarping off stuff.
Well, that's what I mean. So why is there a mystery whether it's happening or not?
Oh, I didn't think there was a mystery.
Oh, I still think people are like, is this really going on? Like, how? I don't know. I felt like there's no guarantee.
This flag thing that's going on.
Yeah, this wedding thing that's going on at MSG.
Here's what I know, is that we did have the Michael Rubin all-white party yesterday. That happened. I haven't seen the entire list of celebrities that were in the building, but I did see that Lil Wayne was supposed to perform somewhere and blew off that concert, but popped up at the Michael Rubin party the same day.
Do you think he comes off as kind of creepy?
Michael Rubin?
Yeah. He kind of seems like a rich dude who's like...
I don't get creepy like vibes almost, from him.
You mean because he likes to be around celebrities? He's
rich.
Just something about him in those pictures. He looks like he's buying friends. I don't know. I see. He might be great friends with everybody who shows up, but
I'd like to think if I were in that position, I'd like to be in those rooms too.
Okay, so so you're saying that people aren't gravitating to him. They are because of who he is.
He's the creator of Fanatics.
That's right.
Yeah.
But what TLC is saying is that he's not truly friends with these people. He's only friends with them because he's wealthy and he can throw these parties or be involved in stuff where.
And part of it's unfair on my part because I've heard of a lot of the people who he invites to these parties, and I haven't really heard of him until a couple of years, until these parties, as a matter of fact. So just because of my background of knowing who all the athletes and celebrities are and just not being familiar with him, they may know him, they may be great friends with them, but when I see the pictures, he looks like a wannabe.
He previously founded GSI Commerce, an e-commerce company, which he sold to eBay for $2 billion.
Okay. Attaboy.
That's in awesome. 2011, and then he later repurchased Fanatics from eBay.
Okay.
So he's been a baller and a shot caller, it seems like, for a pretty long time.
But does he wish he was a little bit taller?
Probably. Hanging out with all the athletes he hangs out with?
Nobody got the reference.
Oh, I got it.
I don't know the name of the song, but I do know the song.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure.
I know it's a song. Okay, yes, right. I know the song.
We got it. His report.
A little slow, but he got it.
I couldn't give you another line in the song, but I know that specific portion of it.
Real quick, Michael Rubin, according to Forbes, they are $9.6 billion.
Buying friends.
Mm-hmm. Well... If there was a guy that can do it, or who can do it, it's him.
Yep.
All right, we got to come back with a little pressure cooker, get to our quarterback stuff. J. Lou at the bottom of the hour, Rothman and Eisen.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Warm and muggy to start and sunny and hot this afternoon with highs in the upper 90s and feels like well into the triple digits. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows in the 70s. And then for Friday, we close out the work week with sunny skies and very, very hot temperatures in the 90s with feels like climbing into the triple digits. So keep those ways to stay cool. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
All right, Iceman. A little pressure time. I'm feeling like a little baseball pressure.
Lead us off. Go ahead and cook, my man.
All right, so let me go to...
Got options, huh?
I got some options. Okay. All right, how about this?
Line them up.
Because I don't really know that they're feeling all that much pressure, but I think it's inherent when you're this club. The New York Yankees have lost seven in a row.
Love this call.
Like, out of nowhere, seven in a row. Now, the reason they're probably not feeling a ton of pressure is because they're still 10 games over 500, but they're 3.5 back of Tampa now. So this is their worst batting line in a seven-game span in more than 100 years. A 421 OPS.
Wait, say that again
for me? 421 OPS.
Say the years again. Give me that line
again. Their worst batting line in a seven-game span since September of 1908, when they weren't even known as the Yankees.
That's a nasty word.
Their June record was 12-14. And I think that the fact that they had a sub-500 record in June is maybe a little bit of that. But I think the panic in me goes to Aaron Judge, who missed the entire month on the injured list. Now, Ben Rice and Cody Bellinger, they slumped. Paul Goldschmidt, of all people, picked up the slack.
Yeah, Unk's going crazy.
Trent Grisham, Spencer Jones. Like, it's fair to think that those guys will not keep it up. Mm. And the starting pitching also took a step back last month. Now, I'm not panicking about a staff that has Schlittler and Garrett Cole and Rodon and Ryan Weathers and Max Fried, hopefully, on the way back. But I'm going to put it on the Yanks just because of the seven-game losing streak, the fact they're not hitting, the fact that Aaron Judge is still MIA for a while, and that they're now 3.5 back in their division.
Yeah, that's a good call, Leo. I like it a lot. I will start in the NBA. Brad Stevens, come on down. Brad Stevens, come on down. Mm. You got to be on the pressure list because I don't know what you were thinking.
Everything was fine. Remember we played the clip?
Right.
TLC, you probably has the clip that we played like 2 weeks ago.
Before
or
I get rolling, yeah, I'll let TLC search
for
that.
Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. I love that you're bringing this up.
Fine.
Really? Obviously not. Because what happened on July 1st, 2026, I think was just utter nonsense. If you missed it, Jaylen Brown, he was, hey, trade bait out there for Giannis. Trade bait out there for Kevin Durant a couple years ago. There was some chatter about Stephon Castle when he initially got to the San Antonio Spurs. That got put behind us. Giannis gets traded to Miami. Then the focus became, okay, the Cavs, Portland, maybe some other teams. Then we find out yesterday, Jaylen Brown has been traded to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Holy Sixers in seven.
What? Craziness. And then the return is just a massive fail by Brad Stevens. You get a 36, soon to be 37-year-old Paul George, two first-round picks and two second-round picks for a guy that finished sixth in the MVP race this year, just won Finals MVP a couple years ago, along with the Eastern Conference Finals MVP as well. So this is just a horrible trade by Brad Stevens. And then it's the team that you traded him to. They just knocked you all out of the playoffs. Outside of the Lakers, this is probably your most bitter rival in the sport. And so I think the Sixers got a lot better. I think the Celtics have taken a big step back because Paul George just ain't it next to Jason Tatum. And so if I'm a Celtics fan, I am furious with what Brad Stevens did yesterday. Brad Stevens has got to correct this and correct it quickly. So that's why he's on the pressure list today.
Were you able to find it?
Oh, hello. Yes, I was, actually. Here we go.
Jaylen Brown's a big part of us. Like, I'm never going to predict the future, but every indication, everything that I think about is with, over the past few years, has been building around those guys. And so, obviously, you never know, but at the same time, I think the one thing I want to make very clear is how valued he's always been. Mm-hmm. And he's been amazing. He's been an amazing teammate, amazing. Great person to be around. And whether that
run ends 10 years from now when he retires or before, there's a lot to celebrate. And
like
we have a great relationship and an open relationship.
Mm. It's open, all right.
But I don't want to predict the future, but I look at it as this is our team.
My team's on the floor. This is our team. They deserve and demand your respect. My first reaction, no blanking way.
Talked a lot about value for this value's a beat up old Paul George.
I say it all the time. These coaches and athletes and GMs are just trained to lie, man. They are very, very good at deceiving and taking us down pathways that there's nothing there. And that's all you heard right there. Because Brad Stevens was saying all of that while knowing I'm trading this guy.
It's untenable.
And he's gone. Yeah. No question. So he's got, I just thought that was a joke of a trade for a guy that's done some good things in Boston, but they are smack dab in the middle of a championship window. And it feels to me that that no longer is the case.
I think of an old song by a great band named Asia. I see it now. It becomes so clear, your insincerity. Like, that's all that soundbite bled to me.
How about the band Europe?
That's good, too.
Any
old
bands
80s
named after continents?
Yeah. A lot of cities.
How about Toto Africa?
Great song. Great band. All right. I'm going to stick with... I was thinking about maybe going to... I'll tell you what. I'll go to Wimbledon. So now that Ben Shelton is out, stunning first-round loss at Wimbledon, fell to a qualifier, I'm going to put it on Taylor Fritz. He's the highest-seeded American at Wimbledon left. Could run into fellow American, Francis Tiafoe, in the... That would be the round of 16. Tiafoe's playing today. Let the trend continue. 2 years ago, he made the quarters. Last year, he made the semis. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Taylor Fritz, I have some agony of American tennis, PTSD, that I've kind of grown up with. And I grew up with some great players, watching them, whether it's McEnroe and Connors or Agassi and Sampras. I mean, Andy Roddick's the last man from our country to win a Granny, the U.S. Open, about 23 years ago. So I'm going to put on Taylor Fritz. I don't want to do it. Feel like I owe it to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's in the cooker.
Second candidate for me. I'm going with a man that was born on February 28th. 1999. He stands 6'8 and he weighs about 230. His name is Luka Doncic. Because now it's your show out in LA. The LeBron departure is official. Austin Reeves has re-signed. They just traded for a big man in Walker Kessler yesterday for Luka, and we saw it during his time in Dallas that's needed. He needs a big man, a lob threat. He now has that. But the pressure of being the guy of a next chapter in the Lakers history book, what comes along with that is you better win a chip. You better win a ring. All the other guys in the past, from LeBron all the way back to Magic and Kareem and all Shaq, Kobe, we get it. Those guys deliver championships to the Los Angeles Lakers. So now it is no doubt his show and his show only. And they always talked about, is he going to be in shape all the time? That's been a question. Is he going to be available? That's been in question, too. We all know this guy's an all-world player. But the expectation from Laker fans are, when you are the star and you're in your prime,
that's right,
you got to bring us one. So I think now that the deck is cleared for him and LeBron's out of his way, Luka Doncic is on the pressure list. He's got to deliver.
Yeah, I like that one. All right, I'll finish up with baseball. Where have you gone, Austin Riley? Atlanta Braves. Last season, he hit 260. Last month, he hit 202. Last 2 weeks, he hit 179. Last week, he hit 105. This is the worst slump of his career. And the Braves third baseman admitted that he doesn't know how to escape it. Wow. 1 for 17, 0 for 11. It doesn't even matter. Their offense was awful in June. They're really good. But if you look at in the last 23 games, Atlanta ranks 30th in runs scored. 30th in hits, 30th in home runs, 30th in batting average, 30th in OPS. What? Now, their spot in the standings has taken a hit, too. Through June, the Braves went 9-14, so they're 49-34. They're fine, or 50-34, rather. They're still 2.5 up, but them going 3-7, and look out for the Phillies and the Marlins. They're not waiting for anybody. So, Austin Riley, I'd love to have a third baseman on my fantasy team to back up my boy Suarez whenever he gets hurt next. I don't think I can pick up Austin Riley. So now you know where my motivation was, putting him in the cooker.
That's good stuff.
He hasn't earned a spot yet.
Real quick, because I know we got J. Lou up next. I'm going to put Hunter Green. Hunter Green's on the pressure list. He's supposed to be coming back at some point this weekend. I don't think he's going to completely save the season. But, man, I'm hoping that he can get some good starts under his belt so we can flip him and get some good assets.
All right, we'll come back in 2 minutes. Jensen Lewis, and we'll get his feeling on that and the guards on whether they can keep afloat. Rothman and
Council.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At your own risk. It's time for some chin music with former big leaguer and president of the Bald Is Beautiful fan club, Jensen Lewis.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Feeling the heat?
Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on Trane air conditioners.
It's that time of the week we connect with our guy, Jensen Lewis, before the holiday, VSiN by the books, MLB Network Radio, and of course, with us. I always like to say, he got his start with us.
Did. It's a fact.
That's right.
Sure did.
That's right, man. Hey, I was scouting the Clippers, you know, that's what I do. You didn't know I was in the stands just with a pair of binoculars.
I knew this guy was probably going to tail off a little bit earlier in his career than maybe.
No, you're on the top of the resume of guys discovered. All right, so when you had to pitch and it was over 100 index, like, you know a couple things, right? You know the ball's going to fly. Like, I saw Walker Buehler and Kyle Hart, Adolfo Duran, guy from San Diego. Everything they threw to the Cubs was taken out, basically. The Cubs beat them 23-3, and we know the ball travels farther in the heat, but when you were pitching and cold, you know, the cold's different as well, right? Because if it's kind of rainy and bad, what did you prefer?
I was always a cold weather preference, if you're going to give me the choice between the two, because no one's running the bat rack, you know, end of March, early April. And ironic you bring up Chicago, because went through this exact scenario, I can't remember, it was 2009, maybe we opened in Chicago, but it was like a nice, easy 55 for the opening day, and then it was 28 for the high for the next day. I don't think Rafi Perez left the space heater in the bullpen the entirety of the time we were out there. But when you look at just yesterday, and AR, you being a Chicago guy, you know when you get it up, especially at Wrigley, and you get it above the upper deck, it just takes off. So you want to elevate and separate and let nature do the rest. But the only couple of times I pitched in triple-digit heat indexes in the big leagues, of course, in Kansas City in August. I mean, just awful. I could get really ready in about six or seven throws, and then you had a full lather there. And that really, for me, I tried to get inside as much as I could. But if you were going to beat me, you had to beat me the other way. And that's kind of how I navigated some of those natural occurrences with the weather that you really can't control.
All right, Jay, let's go down to Cincinnati and lock in on the Red Legs, specifically one guy, and it's Hunter Green, because I couldn't wait to ask you about the plan moving forward with him, because the Reds are in the basement of the Central. Milwaukee's kind of in pole position right now to win that this season, it looks like, at the moment. But let's say Hunter Green, Jay Lou, has a couple good outings, a couple good starts over the next two or three. Does he turn into an asset for them to move at the deadline?
Oof. Okay, so Matt, let me start there with just the initial plan, because you know, the off day on Monday works well in getting the extra day of rest. So, you know, all intents and purposes, he comes back on Saturday, has a great outing against Baltimore. You have the built-in extra day of rest, getting 5 days in between his next start, which I think would come probably in that series opener against the Chicago Cubs. I am always a believer before the All-Star break, Matt, that you can't wave the white flag. And even if you're the New York Mets right now in the National League, it's difficult, even double digits out of a playoff spot, to say, nah, you know, with half the season left, we're done. And I would imagine that the Reds brass and Terry Francona are of a similar mindset. Think of it this way, Matty. You're still entering play today, just seven games under 500, but six out of a playoff spot. There is a boatload of time left. And I think they would ultimately make the decision on whether to scuttle the ship or not, probably within the first 10 days to start the second half, basically walking it up to about 7 days before the trade deadline in August. So where does that leave us with Hunter Green? They're taking calls right now just to understand how Cincinnati values him, period. This is commonplace across every major league team, all of the big players. Everyone gets asked about what would it take. I think what you'll learn, I would need three outings, if not at least four, to even think about moving prospect capital for a guy who's already had a couple of pretty big injury issues that have forced him to miss some time.
Jay Lou, the Guardians are hanging in there, and they probably will continue to do that based on their pitching. They're three games over 500, and their rotation has been strong. Their bullpen's been good. They stumble because of their lack of offense, and I know they're missing Jay Ram, but I mean, they ranked, I'm looking at the stats here, 28th in runs scored and OPS. So what is their motivation at this point? Being three games over 500, still obviously very much in the divisional race, and they know they have a good rotation and a good and a borderline top 10 bullpen. So where does their motivation come from this year now?
Well, it is the same refrain, rinse and repeat, right, AR? I don't know how Guards Ball continues to do it, but they do it because they got to win some of those lower scoring games more often than not. Now, if you and I had a lie detector test and said we were asked the question, biggest series of the year, and said July 2nd through the 5th against the White Sox in Cleveland would be the biggest series of the year. That needle would be going up, down, left, right. Okay, well, here we are. And it is pretty consequential when you think of it in terms of not only a game separating both teams from the top spot in the division, but more so now the season series, because tiebreakers are going to come in to effect when we get to the second half. I told you guys at the beginning of the year, nothing has shown me any difference. Even with the way the Tigers and the Royals have sputtered to start, this division's coming down to the final week, maybe even the final weekend of the season. But this stretch, particularly for the Guards, four at home to end the longest homestand of the year against the White Sox, and then immediately out on the road to face the Twins, who are really hanging around maybe a lot longer than people thought. This is critical juncture time. You better be able to at least split, if not win three of four. Otherwise, Chicago now not only believes they can win it, but they did it in your own backyard. So this is defending home soil, if you will, and then also trying to reassert your status as the defending champs.
No doubt. It's going to be awesome. Jay Lou, I got this list for you. Nolan Arenado, Willie Mays, Ken Griffey Jr., and Junior Caminero, the youngest player since 1990 to have six-game home run streaks. Junior Caminero is 22 years old, and Jay Lou, the AL MVP race is very, very interesting at the moment. But talk about Junior Caminero and how locked in this dude is at the moment.
Matty Ice been listening to my morning show, VSiN by the Books, because I gave out Caminero early this week at 20-1 as an ad for the American League MVP. Woke up today, and I think he's down to 7-1 in some spots. I believe it's only Bobby Witt Jr., Nick Kurtz, and Yordan Alvarez in front of him right now. This is a heater of heaters right now, Matty. I mean, it is just light tower power. Here's what I'm intrigued by. He's already committed to do the Derby again this year. And a lot of what we've seen in years past with the timer is where guys could get into a rut because they expend so much physical energy in a quick amount of time. Well, now that we know that the home run derby rules are changed, does that allow guys to reserve a little energy? I think Junior Caminero in a great spot. He is at the head of yet again another Tampa Bay Rays team. Here we go. Just they are not flashy. They are not crazy on any spectrum here. But they just win, man, and they beat you in a lot of different ways. So I love where JC's at, and boy, what a show he's going to put on in Philadelphia.
My man, have a great holiday. Celebrate 250, and be well. We'll talk soon.
Greatest country in the world, boys. Always great to be with you. Talk to you next week.
See you, my man. Jay Lou was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems bullpen phone line.
He must be stopped talking Junior Caminero, because if not, this thing's not even going to be close when it comes to the Dinger draft. Because Aaron Judge, for me, is completely out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. And just everything that Junior Caminero touches right now is going bridge. Everything. So, TLC.
So, why pitch to him? I don't get it.
Please keep pitching to him, because Matt Olson is a total singles hitter of the last 15 games.
All right. Don't even compare him to Kyle Tucker.
I'm not. I'm just saying over the past 15 games, Matt Olson has 19 total bases.
You have Ohtani. Sorry, TLC. You have Ohtani. You have Caminero and Ohtani.
Is Ohtani heating up too?
I think he's getting back on track. Maybe not the peak of his powers, but
is he getting back? Is he getting untracked or back on track?
I still don't like that.
I'm so glad and you I'm said so, back on track.
I'm so
anybody
glad.
Anybody that's ever said, wait, let's get him untracked.
Crazy. Well,
you probably weren't here when this is a pet peeve of mine from years ago. When people would say, either reporters or anybody really, or a coach would say, we have to get him untracked. Untracked? It's kind of like get him off, like meaning kind of open the world up to him. Get him untracked. Like, no, it's always been he's got to get back on track.
Correct. When you brought this to the show, I think maybe even a year ago, I had never heard a broadcaster say it. And I still don't think I've heard a broadcaster say it. And I'm glad that I haven't heard a broadcaster say it because I think it's crazy.
Do you have an example on the top of your head?
I'm going to have to find one. I don't have one.
A coach or a broadcaster, when you hear that word untracked, who comes
to mind? It's always like a running back. Like a running back that they can't get him going. We got to get him untracked. Like what?
Yeah, I don't.
No, we got to get him back on track.
That's a party foul. Untracked.
It's a train. You want to get it on track and going.
I don't know.
I'll work hard and try to find an example. I just don't. It's usually always about a running back.
Because this is news to me.
Yeah, that it was to me too. And I haven't heard to this day, TLC.
Maybe it came to me in a dream. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
Is this going to be one of those things where it's like I never registered it, but now I'm going to hear it three times a week because he brought this up?
He did this to me with Charlie Casserly too.
Yeah, I did.
A few years ago. Charlie Casserly used to work at the NFL Network, former GM in the NFL, and AR and I would listen to a couple of his segments, and then AR said, Maddie, when you hear him talk, all you're going to hear him now is in between his sentences, he drops in, okay, 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 and every time I hear him talk now, I don't hear anything else but okay. So I can't listen to Charlie Casserly anymore.
Oh, man.
AR's ruined it for me.
I have.
Thanks, but why don't
you trying to get him back on track?
Why don't you just tell him that he's blinking and breathing?
Right.
Why don't you just completely distract him?
All right. So when we come back, ex-Laker LeBron James.
What's his name?
LeBron James.
There we go. Where's that kid up to?
Yeah, where's that drop? We had that kid for a while in the system.
I'm sure there's.
Is there an ideal destination? Has one emerged with a three-time NBA champion franchise? That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, you have a choice, Maddie.
Okay, okay. How many?
Two.
Okay.
Would you like me to start with the ideal destination emerging for LeBron James, according to some people?
Okay.
Are
these people Vegas?
No, not really. Okay. I don't have that. Well, that we could look up for sure. Mm-hmm. Or would you like me to give you the AI overview of back on track versus untracked?
Let's start there, because the untracked thing is just it drives
me
nuts.
So in sports journalism, untracked and back on track are synonymous phrases. I hate one of them, and it's used by reporters and broadcasters. And maybe this was more of a long time ago, or maybe when I was in TV, or I just heard it, or I'd interview a coach and they'd say it, and I always grew up with, hey, let's get back on track, whether it's a team, a player, you're in a slump. Yeah. And it says here that untracked, this is considered an egg corn.
Excuse me?
Which is a phonetic misinterpretation of a word that sounds right. Thank you very much. It is often incorrectly interchanged with off track. However, linguists note that it likely derives from breaking free of a physical rut or the tracks made by a previous vehicle in mud or snow. And so it basically says that it's kind of a misinterpretation.
Okay.
Nope. And that the straightforward metaphor comparing a team's struggles to a train that is derailed and must now be physically be placed back on the rails to resume its journey, hence getting back on track.
Yes, let's just stay there. Nobody should be trying to make untracked a thing. Let's not do that.
A while ago.
Okay, let's leave it there. Let's leave it in the past. Let's just not bring that back to life.
I knew
please.
I wasn't like
untracked.
Dreaming. Like here's another article that I brought up from. This was done back, I don't know whether it was during COVID or whatever. 30 or sports cliches and chronic mistakes. And number six is this offense is untracked.
Garbage.
Course should be on track. Actually, they probably meant off track. Yet the announcers actually have said untracked. There you go. It's on a list. I wasn't dreaming this. At least now I know.
An egg corn is the alteration of a word or phrase through the mishearing or reinterpretation of one or more of its elements. And they give some examples. One of these, I don't know if I would have fallen for it, but it would have been tough. The phrase is beck and call. Some people mm-hmm. refer to it as beck and call.
Beck and call.
It's three words.
Yeah.
I was in a newsroom years ago and dropped the phrase another reporter dropped the phrase on the air, it's a doggy dog world. And I was like, what did you just say?
Doggy dog.
Is it Snoop Doggy Snoop, Dog?
And I'm like, it's a dog eat dog world. And he was like, what? I'm like, you just said on the air, it's a doggy dog world.
What does he think
I'm
that
like,
means?
That sounds like a nice place to live.
Yeah, you should have said.
He always thought the phrase was doggy dog world.
That one
doggy
did take me a while to figure out. That was not like, first time I heard it, I got it. But did you say he said that on the air?
Yes. He was just relating to something. He's like, it's a doggy dog world. And I'm the sports anchor on the end of the desk going,
what did you just say?
What did you just say?
All right, I would have fallen for this one. So if an issue is deep seated, how do you spell that?
Deep seated?
Yes.
I would say deep, two words.
Yep.
And then it'd be C-E-D-E-D, like deep seated. Or is it S-E-E-D-E-D?
That's where I was going to go. S-E-E-D-E-D.
That's what all three of us thought. It's deep seated.
S-E-A-T-E-D.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's an egg corn that got us for as many years as we've all been alive.
All right. I think I've probably accidentally said on the air at one point in time, it's a mute point.
Yes.
Accidentally.
Yes.
When I know it's a moot point, but I just, the word has always been.
Mute.
Yeah, but it's moot.
Right. No, I've said mute too plenty of times.
All right. Is it spur of the moment or spurt of the moment?
Spur.
I think I've been a spur guy, but now I think it's going to be spurt.
Nope, it is spur.
Okay, good.
Like San Antonio.
Okay, we got it right. Okay, we got it right.
We're learning about.
Is that like when I buy Maddie a liter of squirt?
Jeez.
All right, go ahead.
All right, how do you spell it when something piques your interest? Peaks. Tremendous radio.
P E E K.
But we're learning. P what?
P E double E K,
or is it P E A K S?
Well, that would be like a mountain peak,
right? So it probably isn't that.
It piques your interest, so it's either P E E K or P E K E. But no, that doesn't make sense.
P I Q U E.
I've seen that.
Oh,
now that you're saying, I see that now. I'm seeing that now. While we're down this rabbit hole of odd phrases and things like that, you know the noise we all make when it's like. That
well, I've heard a couple from.
Do
him
you know
today.
What that like the meaning of that is? That noise, what you do with your lips.
The horses do.
It's called blowing raspberries.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was watching a TV show and I don't think I've ever heard that the other day when I had.
It's usually done with your tongue.
Blowing I was like, oh, that's interesting.
No, that's it. That's a raspberry.
Okay. But he just whatever. They're similar things. Yeah. I didn't know that that was the meaning. Blowing raspberries. Like I don't think that's a regular. Thing
you're razzing. Yeah. Yeah. That's where that comes from.
I'm rising you, brah.
It's an old wise tale. No.
That's on the list.
It is on.
Yes. On the examples on the Wikipedia page. Old wise tale versus old wives tale.
Yeah. I could see someone mixing that one up. All right.
And apparently, whet your appetite has an H. Wet, like wet is W-H-E-T. I don't know what that means.
Maddie, I think the most important thing we've learned today is that I didn't know that that was called an eggcorn.
Yeah.
And now I'll always refer to the untracked back on track as a horrible eggcorn. It's awesome.
This is what you come to Rothman and Ice for, folks.
You stumble into something.
Look, man, it's the summer. Yeah. Like the kids,
no, I wasn't saying that as a bad thing. I enjoyed it.
I'm saying the kids got to learn something in the summer.
No doubt. They got nothing else going on.
Maddie, there's nothing wrong in putting a disclaimer on the show.
They got
that way they can't sue us.
And what do you say? We bring you the best show within
this price range.
There you go.
The kids got 3 months off. They've had a month and a half to enjoy summer, so we're giving them one segment of education. They can have another month and a half off.
I'm here for it.
Now they'll be a big hit with their friends. They'll know what an eggcorn is, and they'll have a few examples to throw in there.
Yeah. It'll whet their appetite. W-H-E-T.
That's not right.
I don't know what that means.
That's just not right.
Like whet
Wait,
stone.
Is it really spelled that way?
Yeah. I don't know
what that means. W-H-E-T. I didn't know that either, because I thought it would be very typical of whet your appetite, as then you'll be salivating.
That's what I thought.
All right.
I'm not on board with that one.
So would your appetite be wet at the Whetstone Park of Roses?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll come back top of the hour. I'll give you that team for LeBron James, and we'll get into the big deep dive with Big Don because of what happened today at Nationwide. Rothman and
broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Norris Trophy winner Zach Werenski will stay with the Blue Jackets despite trade rumors within the last week. Also today, GM Don Waddell added the team will re-sign Erica Branson, while Kirill Marchenko will be a Blue Jacket when the season starts. More NHL, Alex Ovechkin signed a one-year deal, returning for a 22nd year with the Capitals. Soccer, the Crew signed forward Bryce Mendez from Real Sociedad in La Liga, Spain's top division. He's expected to join when the MLS summer transfer window opens July 13th. Baseball, Reds visit the Brewers at 2:10. Two young stars duel on the hill in Chase Burns and Jacob Mizorowski. Tonight, Guardians host the White Sox at 7:10. Chicago leads Cleveland by a game for the AL Central lead. Golf, Charlie Weed leads the U.S. Senior Open from Scioto at 5-under. Zach Blair and Lucas Glover co-lead at -8 in the John Deere Classic. Pro Hoops, former Buckeye and current Indiana Fever guard Kelsey Mitchell was named a starter in the WNBA All-Star Game.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
All right, we'll get to the Big Don in a moment on patching it up with Z and trying to quiet the noise and the drama and the soap opera that was the last week. But the easiest move for LeBron would have been, I guess, to stay in L.A. and sign with the Clippers. We'll see if that happens. Or now we could stay in California with Golden State and all that. There are some kind of sneaky ones, and this is probably more just to talk about rather than where you'd put your money. And I just feel like with the Jaylen Brown trade that this kind of popped up. And it doesn't feel like it, but when you think about him coming back for a 24th season in the NBA, I do feel like this, to me, it's kind of leaning Cleveland, just leaning that way, just from an emotional standpoint and the fact that they are good. So it's leaning that way, but I don't think they're the favorite. It feels like Golden State might be, but here's the other sneaky one. So some NBA reporters have put the 76ers as now an ideal destination to basically follow up their acquisition with Jaylen Brown. So the starting lineup would be crazy on paper. You think about what they would have with Joel Embiid, you add LeBron, Jaylen Brown, VJ Edgecombe, Tyrese Maxey, and
That's a squad.
I mean, without him,
Yeah, they're going to be nice.
They're a finals now caliber roster.
I agree.
If they can stay healthy, but that's the if with everybody. You add him, and it's automatic in a way where you'd think like anything other than an Eastern Conference final would be a failure. But he's listening to offers from around the league, and this situation could now vault up the list.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think of that after Jalen got traded, or are the Sixers still kind of way out there?
It crossed my mind, and like I want to give you some credit, because the other day we talked about Brown, and I was like, I've never seen the man sign for anything less than the max. Nothing less than the max. And Shams last night comes out and reports that, I know TLC's got some quick sound bites about maybe the timeline of this, but Shams reported as well that I guess Braun's on board with signing the minimum, not even just like the mid-level exception, but the minimum. So I think that brings almost everybody into play. And I think for Braun, you start to, you know, cut down the field to contenders. And I think he would view Philly now as a contender. And I know Shams has got a little maybe update on how Braun is either going to take some time or make this a quick decision.
After LeBron James' decision to leave the Lakers on Tuesday, he returned back to the golf course. And so clearly LeBron James is not in a rush right now to make a decision. He's evaluating everything, but his biggest priority in all this is finding a team where he feels like he's going to have a chance to play meaningful basketball, compete for a championship. My understanding is this will not be a financially driven money decision. And so his agent, Rich Paul, has been getting about a dozen pitches ever since free agency opened at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. But when I talk to teams around the league, three stand out during this process. That's the Golden State Warriors, Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Miami Heat. So LeBron James will take probably the next few days to sift through all that, figure out exactly where he's at. There is no timetable. I will say, though, I have listened to Rich Paul on his own podcast on Game Over, and he's given hints along the way this year about how the Lakers situation was looking. I do have a hunch that we might get some more hints along the way here the next few days.
Okay. All three of those teams that he listed, I think, would be fun. You add Philly to that. Yeah. I think either place for him would be great stuff. And watching him hoop at the highest level, I think it would be awesome at any one of those stops there.
It was a guess by me as far as him taking less or taking the mid-level exception. Because when you think about $15 million annually, this isn't about what LeBron James needs money-wise, but nobody likes to leave 30-some-odd million dollars on the table. Like, it's just there are more. And so now I actually think this actually helps what he said. It helps Cleveland. It does, because I think the Cavs, who are interested in another reunion with LeBron, I didn't think it was going to be easy. And now it sounds like Cleveland would have some work to do financially. And I didn't think the Cavs were expected to have this clean max salary slot waiting for the king to come home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now if the reunion could be easier, that it would require either a mid-level type deal or some other roster maneuvering to create enough space. Now it does create a return home for sentimental reasons, for competitive reasons. It checks a lot of boxes. The narrative on that he took less to do it, it now makes even more sense for me, because it's more complicated if he wants a lot of money.
It feels and sounds like it's about Ball and trying to get another chip. I think right now the Cavs would be third in the pecking order of the four in my mind that are legit contenders. I think it would go Philly, Miami, then Cleveland with the addition of LeBron. If Jaylen Brown was there, then I think I'd feel better about the Cleveland thing. He may be looking at Donovan Mitchell and Harden and Mobley and those guys and saying, I can win with those guys. I just think if it's about that and that only, Giannis down in Miami with Bam and then Maxey and the crew that you laid out in Philly, that to me seems more championship ready than where Cleveland is, based off of them losing Dean Wade, who is now in Philly. So Dean Wade is a guy that they handed a nice contract, so the Cavs lose him, and so you lose some of that 3-and-D stuff that he brought to the floor. But nonetheless, it's going to be him in a new location, and I think we're going to be watching LeBron play some impactful games, which is always cool to see.
It would be fun. I mean, it certainly wasn't fun watching them get swept away, especially in that building when I was up there and I thought, oh, no one's winning in here tonight except them. And the Knicks were just too good. They were so resilient. They never quit. They were down so many times. You couldn't kill them. Yeah. You couldn't slam. Like, it was not, it just was that, it was just weird. And I rarely get caught up in that. And you and I brought up the example of the Super Bowl, Ravens and Niners, and how it feels pregame.
Yeah.
And then when a ball gets kicked off or tipped up or whatever it is, Then it's all between the lines, man.
The Knicks were absolutely on fire. What'd they win? They are 13, 14 games in a row or something like that in the playoffs. And they've had the chemistry that they built up for years. That core had been together not only for the last couple of years in New York, but in college too, for some of those guys. You mentioned the Knicks. Did you see that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift invited the starting lineup of the New York Knicks to their wedding, but no other members of the team.
And you got to draw the line somewhere, right?
It's like, I don't know. It's like, if you're going to invite some of them, I think you got to invite all of them. That's kind of where I'm at.
Is Mitchell Robinson no longer invited now that he's in Boston?
He's a Boston Celtics. He's gone. That's a good question.
Cross him off.
But yeah, only the starting five can go to the wedding at MSG too. So that I thought that was a little bit of a tough look for them.
So if you're a starting five member, are you protesting on behalf of your boys?
So it's Jalen, Bridges, Hart, OG, and Cat.
So Mitchell, I don't think Mitchell would even get the invite to TLC. Yeah.
That's tough because that's a 20-minute a night guy. Like, that's not.
Yeah. But you got
it. I mean, Landry Shamet was good at times. Wouldn't it be great if they had, like, brought in, like, an NBA expert and say, all right, we can add two more. Who gets the spots? Tryouts. That is weak, but you'd have to add, by the way, a lot of these are like coaches' decisions, like did not play, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Tryouts.
So 10 more. So 10 are on the outside looking in.
They got the money to do it. That's not an issue. They can't use that as an excuse. That can't be a money issue.
Billions. I mean, she can buy anything she wants. It's just it's actually how they want it. Like, I was always surprised they wanted to get married in MSG, but she's got the New York feel and the ties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She did not wear New York gear, Knicks gear, to that Cleveland game that I attended. She let Travis get his Cleveland on, and she did not.
She did have on a cool New York Knicks-ish shirt that said Stevie Nicks on it in Knicks colors, which I thought was cool. But that was at MSG.
That was MSG, where they all went into the Nickelback. And
she can't do that in her man city.
Yeah, she would have gotten. She would have gotten half heckled.
I think
she wore Knicks gear and he wore Cleveland gear. I mean, I actually thought it would be probably kind of fun to do that, but I don't think she wanted to get all involved in that.
I don't think you heckle Taylor Swift, do you?
Well,
if
you're in the upper bowl,
hey Taylor. I mean,
if they were given tickets, you can't.
They were on the floor.
Yeah, you can't be like, hey, thanks. Thanks for letting us down here. Oh, I'm going to wear the other team's gear.
She waited till they got to the final, and then it was all on.
Cat was at the he was at the Michael Rubin party last night. I have the official list.
He got invited to
of
that.
Who was there, and I'm again jealous because I'm looking at pictures of Snoop Dogg with Martha Stewart and Travis Scott and
Doggy Dog World.
Carl Anthony
Seems
Towns
like a Doggy Dog World.
Shaboozy and
there
Emma
was a
Roberts.
Dog there in a white suit, right?
There was.
Yeah.
I don't know whose golden retriever that was, but there was a dog. Jay-Z, Tom Brady, Lil Wayne. I mean, yeah, it's just every year.
You sure it wasn't Flavor Flav?
It was not. Not Flavor
Flav. Tell them the story, Maddie. Was that New Orleans or Vegas?
That was
Vegas.
Flavor Flav. That was Vegas. And AR questioned for a bit whether Flavor Flav was Lil Wayne.
My head's on a swivel there. It was about 20 yards away. I didn't see a big clock. Like,
did Flavor Flav grow his hair out?
He didn't have. I'm pretty sure he's got the braids going on, but Wayne, I think, has like even the blonde dreads now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, all good.
I mean, I know you.
Did he have face tats?
I don't think Flavor Flav has face tats. I don't think he does.
It's a decent amount of distance away. Man, I was too busy throwing passes with Brock Bowers to pay attention. All right.
You played catch with Brock Bowers?
Yeah, he did. You never heard that story?
He was the first catch in the NFL.
Yeah.
Was thrown by me.
And then he went on. So you're really not the cooler then, because you played catch with him before his rookie season, and then he went on to absolutely go crazy.
It was at Radio Row, and they came over. He had just gotten to Radio Row, and we had a football on our table, and they asked to borrow it for a prop for him. And I said, sure.
As long as I can throw the first pass.
As long as I can throw it to him.
Seemed like a cool dude.
And he said, fine.
Yeah, he seemed cool.
And let's send him on a little down and in, and the rest is history. All right. We come back. We do want to get to Don Waddell and his comments about Z. We'll do it next. Roth.org.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Warm and muggy to start, and sunny and hot this afternoon with highs in the upper 90s and feels like well into the triple digits. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows in the 70s, and then for Friday, we close out the work week with sunny skies and very, very hot temperatures in the 90s with feels like climbing into the triple digits, so keep those ways to stay cool. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good, clean boy. Moonlight says. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, somehow they, whatever analogy you want to make, they put the toothpaste back in the tube or the genie back in the bottle. They made the water go back up the faucet. They did something here. I don't even think this...
I like that. That's a new one for me.
I never thought it should have gotten to this point. There's still a mystery out there. Yeah. We played a press conference today for a half an hour, and I never got the answer to, if he didn't ask for a trade, the only thing I can come to... And I just would have loved to hear it from Don because he had to do his job. With all due respect, he had to do his job. But Zach had 2 years left. And I've always said, and I've said it for a week, that he earned the right to not know today how he'll feel in a year. Now, that doesn't mean a GM stops doing his job. This is what Don did. There must have been some hesitation, clearly, that Zach wasn't sure that he'd want to sign long term. Because think about it. This was never asking Zach, do you want to be a Jacket? This was probably asking Zach, hey, a year from now, we good? And him saying, well, show me. Let's see. Mm-hmm. I put in 10 ridiculously good years, and I like it here. My family likes it here. I want to win here, but I want to be assured we can win here.
All that's fair.
And I've got a coach on a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was always unfair. Now, I think he was honest with the Jackets. And I think that honesty got this ball rolling. Yep. And maybe the Jackets felt like, hey, we got to do right by us. Maybe his value will maybe never be higher. I think it'll still be very high next year. But his value will never be higher. And if we can move him now, if he's giving us some hesitation on whether he wants to be a lifelong Jacket, then let's go to work. My guess is he got some parameters from the agent, some parameters. Maybe not a specific list, but certain parameters.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
And that Don went and explored a trade.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? Don got a trade.
From Dallas.
And he went back to Zach and said, hey, what do you think? No, I never wanted to leave this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go now. Now, if he really wanted to leave, my gut is that Don would have held his cards, not had this presser, and gotten to work over the next several weeks with Toronto and Tampa and hold his ground and see who's going to ante up to get that thing to a good value. And then maybe he'd walk that back to Zach and say, would you go to one of these teams? But Zach would have to reiterate, that's not my hope and dream, is to leave this year and go to another team. He could have just not been honest with him and said, everything's fine. Get the pen ready in a year. And then he didn't, and the issue, I think, was forced because the club did what they wanted to do. And as I said earlier, it's a dangerous game to play when you're shopping the best player in your franchise and he's not ready to go.
Yeah.
And so I think it got out, probably leaked out the back door with Dallas or whoever was involved in this. And then when it became public, Zach becomes public enemy number one. The fans throw under the bus. The media is taking cheap shots and blaming him for the collapse, and because they assumed he was gone and felt it was open season. And after they got the news he didn't want to be traded to Dallas, well, now you realize you backed the wrong horse. And you got to pull everything back.
Yeah. Well said, and I agree with what you said, brother. And it's odd, AR, because coming out of the press conference today, I know TLC's getting ready to fire off some big Don sound bites. I still feel the same way I felt prior to the press conference. Because while, yes, we heard today that this is going to be a fixed issue at least for a year, the pessimist in me won't allow my mind to go completely to the other side that this is completely fixed now. and that we're not going to be revisiting the same conversation a year from now, because I think that's where we're going to be.
I don't think he said that today, that he felt like, I mean, I think it's okay for now. We're going to go back to work, which is what they should have done anyway.
Right.
And this shouldn't even been a conversation
and
today.
And that's why I still feel a little uneasy about this, and I probably will feel this way for an entire season, but that's fine. That's just where we're at. Mm-hmm. And if those guys over there are okay with this, to a certain degree, hovering over them, then fine. I think Z, with the way that he's wired, that dude can go out there, lock in on what he needs to do, and just be the Zach Werenski we know he can be. But it's just not as clear as I would like it to be right now. But it ain't about me. It's not about me. But I'm a pessimist in certain situations, and this is one of them right now, because I just don't feel great about it, even coming out of the press conference this morning.
Let me play you two sides of that. Let's say that, because they can't extend him now anyway. Yep. But let's say there was a conversation, and we had Don on last week, and I say to Don, hey, how'd your conversation with Zach go around the Norris Trophy? And he goes, outstanding. Oh, he loves it here.
Mm-hmm.
So happy. You know, obviously we can't do anything now, but he's everything's great. Zach wants to win. He loves it here. And then they go out this year, and they have a poor year. Well, we're not going to hold Zach to that. That'd be year 11 if they don't make the playoffs the seventh straight year. And what if they run out this year and they have some unfortunate stuff or whatever happens and they're a 85-point hockey team and they miss the playoffs? Okay, so are we going to hold them to what they're saying today? No, that's why I kept saying this conversation needed to happen a year from now. The sad part is it got out and a trade was explored. It was presented to Zach and his representation. They said, no, we never asked for a trade. We don't want to leave. Let's revisit this in a year, and I think that's where we stand.
What do you got, TLC?
All right, let's start with the relief knowing that Zach is staying.
The end result is this is what we wanted, and you know, we didn't want to have Zach go anywhere. When it came time to make a decision, he made it very clear to me, very directly and very passionate, that he wanted to be a Blue Jacket. He's been here 10 years, and he wanted to remain here, and it was music to my ears.
And hang on real fast. Remain for a year. Like, that's the part that isn't added to this. That made it sound like he's good to go. Well, if he is good to go, why did you shop him?
Because he got scared. He got scared because of the meeting.
He got scared. The hesitation, and his peak value.
Yes.
But that question was never asked today.
Yeah.
Why did you shop him?
We just, I think, revealed his answer. Yeah, I think it has to be the two things that we just listed. What's next, TLC?
What did Zach communicate that he wanted out of his future?
Yeah, well, first of all, I asked for the meeting. It wasn't really a meeting. We were getting together and talking about you know, how things went this year and all that, and that's how the conversation went. So it was really a mutual thing as we were just together. Like I said, I've met with him multiple times in the summertime, and pretty basic how it came out that, you know, we were just talking about this year, how it went, and the future, and it went from there.
Yeah. It's kind of vague, but
listen. The whole thing was, I think, because the result is good, that the press conference was soft. Because the result was good. They rescued it. They tied a tourniquet on.
Yeah.
They brought it back. And so you didn't need to, like, really completely dig because he's still here. But what happened, and this was, I think, was very unfortunate, is that a great player and a great dude and a guy that's been here a while, who's been as consistent as anybody in the league the last 2 years, had to eat it publicly. And he never requested a demanded out. It was just, I don't have to answer 2 years out. Who would? Nobody. Yeah. And so it got mishandled that way, and maybe it's a lesson learned by all, that when you start exploring and you get something, that it can leak out the back door, and I think it did.
One thing that was encouraging to hear in the press conference was it does sound like the communication between all parties involved has been very good. Because sometimes these things can happen, and a guy, you can ruffle his feathers, and that can turn him off, and then he doesn't want to talk to you. And just that can snowball in a bad way.
100%.
So the fact that they're not there and they're on a similar page about communication, I think, is a pretty good thing.
The other good thing, by the way, real fast, is that he got Erica Branson for $1.75 million on 1 year. I actually really like that. I was kind of in the mindset of, oh, Goody's going to get paid because of what he is. But now, if he can stay healthy, and that's the big if,
yeah,
then that's actually a very good re-sign today at that price call.
It's a good call. And he was asked about Marchie, and he was like, there's three more pressing things right now in my plan. Yeah. That's what he said.
Fance, Silly.
Jet.
Jet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That cap space gets eaten quick. All right, we're going to come back. It's a Gold Jacket Thursday. And Maddie, Fredo, you broke my heart, but I love this dude. Morten Andersen, he did break my heart. He'll join us in 2 minutes. Rothman and I
can trust.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
All right, welcome back in. It's Gold Jacket Thursday, and I was looking forward to this more than many. From Denmark to Canton, so many monster milestones along his journey, all-decade teams of the 80s and 90s. 25 seasons, unbelievable, and he retired as the all-time leading scorer in NFL history. And a 38-yarder in overtime that broke my Viking heart when he punched the Falcons into their first Super Bowl, enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's the Great Dane. He's Morten Andersen. Good to have you.
It is my pleasure. It was a lot of fun up there on January 17th, 1999. So I know it broke your heart, but it made me $300,000 richer, actually. Because my agent called me after the game, and he said, great game. I said, no kidding. We're going to the Super Bowl. He goes, you forgot. I said, what? He said, when I negotiated your contract, the kicker at the end was, no pun intended, the kicker at the end was, if you make a field goal to win the NFC Championship and or the Super Bowl, you get $300K. So that was a good ride home, my man.
Wait a minute. That was a little, like, throw-in clause in the contract?
Correct.
Incentive?
Yeah, like, hey, we'll take your number, however, comma, I need this. And so he didn't even tell me about this clause until after the game. I said, thank God you didn't tell me before the game.
I don't know, man. You were a clutch. And I will say this. I never wanted Denny Green to ice you in that spot. Because you know what I figured, Mort? I figured that you would be expecting to be iced and we'd kind of play with your mind a little bit and not ice you. But he did it anyway.
Well, you know what I figured? You know what I figured? You can't ice.
You can't ice. Yeah, that's right. I think there was a song that we can add to that as well. All right, quick.
I mean, I am a Viking, you know.
You came to the States as an exchange student, though, and I remember you said the story in your enshrinement speech, which, by the way, was one of the all-time greats, that your first kick, I believe, your first kick ever of a football was already under pressure, so maybe it was meant to be. Tell me about your time at Ben Davis High School in Indianapolis.
It was so incredible. Without those 10 months at Ben Davis, I'm not sitting here in Canton, Ohio with a gold jacket, I can tell you that. That's where my American dream started. And I just went back a couple of weeks ago for a Heart of the Hall of Famer program that the Pro Football Hall of Fame puts on, where you get to go back to your high school, talk to the students, and make an impact. And it was one of the most unique, invigorating, inspiring experiences in my life to be able to, if you will, pass it forward, kick it down the street a little bit and talk to these kids who are at a critical, you know, life is all about defining moments. And I know for a fact when you're a senior, junior, senior in high school, there are some defining moments coming at you and you've got to get on the train. There's no point in standing at the station and let that train leave. So my message to those kids at Ben Davis, where it all started for me, was to be curious. You know, be a curious student, be inquisitive, and be thirsty for knowledge. Be courageous in that journey of seeking knowledge and taking risks and failing forward. But you know, the most in my life, anyway, the lessons I feel like that I learned was, you don't, when your hands are above your head, you're not really improving as much as when your back's against the wall. So my whole mantra, if you will, is to embrace the suck, embrace the world of suck, which, being a kicker, believe me, plenty of distasteful moments, very perceived high pressure situations where you have to perform in a very short period of time. And I try to convey that to the to my Ben Davis, you know, colleagues, students that, you know, are at a different stage of their life than me, obviously, having lived a long life already and being 64. How do you connect with people that are 17, you know, kids that are 17, 18 years old and still trying to figure it out? And I think my message really for anybody out there wanting to listen, and I know you have a lot of people listening, is to be, you know, courageous and inquisitive and really want to go take the journey and not be scared of making tough decisions. And you know what? If you fail, okay, good. It means you're living and it means you're improving. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. It's good stuff right there. Morton, take us inside the moment where you really said to yourself, I'm going to pursue kicking and I'm going to go all in with being one of the best kickers of all time. When was that moment and why did that moment happen, you believe?
That never really occurred to me. But what I was more interested in was a process and the quality of the process. I know that sounds kind of corny maybe, but I was never really like in the NFL and Division I college. I mean, it's result oriented. I know that. So that was a given, but I was much more interested in, you know, how can I become, like, how can I own my workbench? And my workbench for kicking was that little area that, you know, 1.15 seconds from snap to kick. How can I become elite at defining that, at defining it, at training it, and at owning it? And so for a kicker, the moment, so I'm taking you inside my mind now. Your question's good, but it demands a detailed answer, and that's what I'm going to try to give you. I'll try to cliff note it, but process-oriented, the moment of truth for a kicker is when? It is when the plant foot hits the ground. Why? Because now it's non-negotiable. I'm either in the right spot or the wrong spot. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So the moment of truth is important to understand in everything we do in life, but for a kicker, infinitely important. So that's what I teach my guys. We have to figure out, we have to define the workbench, okay, the approach, the plant, the finish, and all those things down the line, down the target line, and so forth. Vertical ball flight, aim for the middle. Why do we aim for the middle? Because it never changes. Hello. You know, people say, oh, it's windy. Where should I aim? Aim for the middle. Aim for the middle. It never changes. And it might move 4 or 5, but I got 18.6. I got 18 feet, 6 inches. To me, the realization that I was elite came much later. It wasn't important to me. What was important to me was the quality of the experience when I was in it. And as I went, I realized, this is turning into a unique experience. I'm one of the best in the world at what I'm doing. But it never really occurred to me that was not my goal. My goal was to have an elite experience and make the process so fun that it was undeniable and it was unavoidable.
He's the 5-time first-team All-Pro kicker. He's Morton Anderson with us on a Gold Jacket Thursday. 7-time Pro Bowler, retired as the all-time leading scorer in NFL history. This may be a quicker story you'll have to tell in time we have, because I wanted you to tell my co-host, because I've heard it before. This was not a done deal. You were, as they say, on the beach. You may not have had a chance, but this was a milestone that you really wanted, though. You wanted to be able to be the all-time leading scorer when you retired. Were you,
that is correct.
And you were concerned at the time because you were essentially almost forced retired, I guess.
That is correct. You're spot on with that. And, you know, there are times when you have to put a carrot out there and say, hey, man, what is the purpose here? Because for 20 months in a public park, people are looking at me like, hey, you had a good run, Morton. What are we doing here? And I had to defer to little leaguers who needed the field. You talk about humbling. You go from playing for the Vikings in 2004 to practicing 4 times in a public park every week, but only if the field was available and you could get somebody to unlock the gate. I mean, you're talking from 1 month to the next. You know, I played 23 years in the league, and now I'm here, and the phone's not ringing. I mean, that was, you talk about a gut check, you know. You talk about back against the wall. And I'm 70, and to your point, I'm 77 points away from being the all-time leading scorer in the history of the game. You have to go and get that. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
And by all means necessary, and people called me absolutely nuts. You're certifiably crazy, you know, and I probably was. There was a very thin line between excellence and insanity. You know? So, I mean, and I was. I mean, when I look back on those 20 months, I said there were times when I was a selfish bastard. You know, I'm a narcissist. But without having been that, I wouldn't have gotten to where I needed to go. And kudos to the wife and the kids for allowing me to do that.
Incredibly inspiring. You were 80% for 25 years. Can you tell me in 10 seconds? I told my co-host friend here about the era of barefoot kickers, and he looked at me like I was crazy. You ever try it? I mean, not on a beach. You were in the era of some barefoot kickers.
First of all, I'm an opportunist, okay? And I believe in free enterprise. So being barefoot, you can't get a shoe contract. Let's leave it at that.
That's a great answer. That's it. That's awesome. I will say that I re-listened to your speech, and what you give will grow and what you keep will perish. Will stay with me forever. Be well, and I would love to have you back on because your stories are tremendous.
Anytime. It was a great visit. Thank you.
You got it. Morton Anderson, Hall of Fame kicker, who broke my heart in the late 90s. We did it to ourselves, though. We did.
You know what we should do? We should list, have like a segment dedicated to athletes that have broken our hearts or specific teams that have broken our hearts. Because I think everybody listening can think about a guy or a team that you just could never beat, or every time you saw that guy, he just went off. And so Morton Anderson is one of those guys. The heartbreak just lives on.
It was a one-timer.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I ever see him up there in Canton, I'm just going to say, I know it was you, Mort. I know it was you. You broke my heart. You broke my heart. We'll come back and tell the truth, Rothman.
Join our degenerate gamblers, Dave Biddle at Scotty Vegas, every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com. The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us home.
I promise I'm not going to dedicate the entire segment to this. There were two more egg corns I wanted to go over.
I love it. I love the fact that it is an egg corn. The fact that that's what it's called is amazing.
The fact that it got
discovered today accidentally.
Real quick, TLC, for some folks that may just be hopping in, that heard you say acorn and were like, what? What's an acorn? Please lay out the definition of an acorn.
Basically, it's a phrase that that a certain segment of people kind of reinvent because they mishear it enough to where they basically create a new version of the phrase.
That's the difference. It's not something that people actually get wrong in a way. It's just something that they've always heard it a certain way and they think that's it. And because I've gotten some texts and some emails about it already today, and it's not just like a misspelling or an accidental word. It's actually hard to explain. It's something that's been
it takes on a life of its own,
and it's like this phrase that you've mistakenly used because you think that's it. And I told you the famous one I heard when I was sitting on the set in Rockford, Illinois, of all places, and news anchor goes, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And I knew it was a dog-eat-dog world because it's the famous line from Norm from Cheers.
Yeah.
It's a dog-eat-dog world and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a famous deal. And so, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, well, we had the example from Love Island last season where Hoda dropped an escape goat. It's like,
okay.
No, it's
honestly,
escape goat.
That's awesome.
Like an escape room.
And you thought
twice
that was it?
Twice in the same scene, she called somebody an escape goat. Did.
What did we have on Love Island the other day?
Epitome.
Epitome. Somebody said epitome, AR, instead of epitome.
Epitome.
The guy said and he like doubled down on it when he was talking to the girl on the show. I think it was sincere. And he goes, epitome.
Didn't even break stride.
He said it with confidence.
All right.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank on this one. Okay. One blank swoop.
Okay.
This is ARs right here.
So I said on the air, trying to do my Brian Kelly, he would say it.
One fail swoop.
That's a one fail swoop when we're talking about it. Now, it is one fell swoop, but certainly it's been said a lot, one fail swoop.
That's definitely something. Yeah. Nate Bargatze had an entire bit about that phrase in one of his recent specials. Up to that point, I probably could have pronounced that phrase three different ways and just rotated them my entire life up to that point.
Oh, I guarantee I've said it a million times, one fail swoop.
Me too. Me too.
There's that. Yeah. It's one foul swoop.
Oh, but foul.
That one I've not.
Yeah. One fail swoop.
One fail swoop. One fail swoop. And then, for all blanks purposes.
Intense and purposes.
Not intensive purposes.
That's correct.
Yeah, I've never
heard
intensive.
It's not for all intensive
purposes.
Yeah,
it's always been intense to me.
There's that
intense and.
And.
Well, yeah, right.
The phrase is for all intents and purposes.
That's right, right.
But there are definitely a subset of people out there who say for all intensive purposes.
That's a good one.
That's great.
So right. We can catch up on those two.
Oh, that's good.
Maddie, tell the truth. How many calories will you eat on Saturday? Over under 2,500. 2,000 is the baseline. However, for holidays, everybody's baseline goes up 1,000.
I got to be honest, TLC, it's under because I'm not going to a cookout or anything.
What?
Like
he's going to crush the under.
That's a weak Tyvus what, by the way.
I got nothing on deck for me that would lead me down a path of temptation this weekend. So I think I'm going to be under on Saturday.
Are you at the ball fields?
No, we're off this weekend, man.
And you're not going weekend. Anywhere?
No, I got nothing planned, bro. Nothing planned. I'm going
where
to Fiji.
For
Love Island, but other than that, that's it.
Where he's going is into the air conditioning. Going, like all of us should be.
Darn right.
I mean, he's going to be 98 today, 97 tomorrow, 91 Saturday. Chance of pop-ups.
Yeah,
we don't get back
coming?
Into the 80s till Sunday.
That'll be great.
Phenomenal. Oh, that's going to feel like...
It's like, you know, when we get like the freezing cold temperatures and then it's like 35 a few days after that. Oh, this feels pretty good. Feels pretty good. You got any cookout stuff going on this weekend or are you just chilling?
There'll be golf in there somewhere.
Okay. So you're out in the heat.
DeVere's not inviting you over?
I don't know what DeVere's got going on, man. I got invited to one Thanksgiving and that's all I needed. That was gracious enough. Gracious enough.
I bet you'd knock this time with it being 100 degrees. You were going to wait.
Maddie, watch this.
Come right in.
On the wall.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, my dad loves that story, too, by the way. When I went to DeVere's for Thanksgiving, one of his sons was doing something upstairs. His son's cousin snitched on him and wanted to get him in trouble. DeVere goes, watch this. Come on up here. All right. You know, I think he's just going to, you know, talk to him, give him a stern talking to or something. He goes and immediately points to the wall and get on the wall. And his son does 2 minutes of wall sits. It's a punishment I've never seen, but I'm here for it. Building tough. Yeah. He's building mental and physical toughness. It's a pretty decent punishment right there. Good stuff from Debo.
Kids are going to have insane quads.
I'm glad he wanted you to, to be witness involved in a pay-per-view.
Be a witness.
Just in case you ever need some parenting advice.
Oh, man.
How many minutes of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest will you watch over under a half? I'm under.
I'm way under. AR, you're a hot dog eating champ, so this might be
up
your alley.
I'll find it. Somehow.
You betting on it?
Rothman's going to be mentally
competing. No, I'm not betting on it, but I was the first one to tell you that I think that Joey might be a little distracted this year.
That's right.
Based on his
some of his recent infractions.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still in it, right? I mean, there was a question. I think this adds some hype to it, and even more.
There can't be any value, really, on anybody else. Like, what's...
The only bet would probably be the over-under.
For dogs for Joey Chestnut?
That's right.
Yeah, because the field, Joey's got to be a heavy
17
favorite.
Times.
He's goated, man.
Yeah.
Do you know how many men signed the Declaration of Independence?
This is tough.
I'm going to guess 5.
The number that popped in my head was 7? 6. I'll go 6.
I mean, if you add 50, you're correct. It's 56.
56?
Really?
Wait, five and
wait
six.
A minute.
Did you guys just combine your guesses to...
To get them right. That's teamwork right there.
All right.
Synergy.
You know what? Fine. The two of you get 56, because Rothman said five and I said six.
We got it right. Did it on purpose.
We got it right, AR.
I mean, we definitely did that on purpose.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt.
56?
That's...
I mean... Should I just said...
Did you not watch National Treasure?
I have watched that, but I
figured... It's my favorite movie series.
Yeah, but it's basically just, give me your John Hancock on here and away we go.
Okay.
National Treasure is my favorite movie series.
How many did they get a trilogy?
No, dude. There's so many rumors about a third. There have been for like 20 years. They never got to it.
Who's the leading actor in that?
Nicholas Cage.
That's right.
I just figured maybe... Maddie and I figured that five or six was all the important ones.
No doubt.
Hey, Chad, can you believe this?
We got to go. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. If you missed the Don Waddell presser, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. You can catch up on all that. Brandon Beam in the house for Timmy today. Have a great weekend.
Hold on. It's technically Friday.
And I am looking at a half-empty bottle of Cavathier, which means that we are just about out of time.
Enjoy. Be safe. Have fun. And stay cool. Rothman.